Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Long 2 podcast with Barn and Timms. Timms, hello, mate. How are you this week?
I'm very well, thank you. Had a good week, and I've been enjoying basketball this week very much, actually, Barn. We've had some great matchups this week. How are you?
Yeah, Timms, I'm great for the same reasons, mate. What a week of basketball it's been. I think we should kick it off with the big one of the week, Timms. I know you were keeping a close eye on it, as was I. Cavs Thunder. Two absolute titans in the NBA at the moment. And it was very closely run game, wasn't it? Cavs just edged out the Thunder in the end. Oh, what did you make of it, Timms? Did you enjoy that one?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And we spoke about it in our previous pod that it was a potential finals preview, didn't we? Cleveland 129, edging it by 7 ahead of the Thunder in the end. Yeah, I mean, these two teams are the hottest teams in the league right now, for sure. And what impressed me the most, Donovan Mitchell, 11 points. Yeah, the Cavaliers came out on top. He only had 3 field goals in the entire game, did Dono. Which kind of, I think, illustrates just what Cleveland are this season. They're just a winning machine. They don't rely on any single member of the team, do they?
Oh, Timms, they really don't. Donovan Mitchell, 3 for 16. To come out with a win against arguably the best team in the NBA in the Thunder, when your, in inverted commas, best player shoots 3 for 16 with 11 points is absolutely ridiculous. Jared Allen and Mobley both with the double-double. Timms, they just have so many different ways of hurting you. Really hard to see anyone beating them at the moment. Although, saying that, a couple of nights ago, they lost to the Pacers in the first of a back-to-back, didn't they? But, I mean, one-off, obviously, they came back and beat them again last night, but back to normal. But, yeah, I couldn't quite get over how well the Cavs played as a team against the Thunder teams. I thought the Thunder did an amazing job. I thought, actually, that was a big reason why Donovan had such a bad game, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the Thunder are, I think, the best defence in the league right now, if you look at the numbers, which I can't admit I have done too closely. But, oh, mate, I can't get over this matchup. It really does feel like it could be a little finals preview. And, I mean, we'll come on to that later, won't we, in this week's podcast. But, yeah, the best thing about all of this, Barn, is we get a second matchup between these two teams in a couple of days' time, don't we? This time in Oklahoma.
God, I'm excited. God, yeah. I'm excited. Timms, I don't know how the Thunder win this game, by the way, because I'm looking at the stats now. The Thunder played great. I'm watching the game at the time. They were playing great defense. They were crashing the boards. They were doing whatever they could to stop the Cavs. The Cavs just have a bit too much in the areas that the Thunder usually thrive in. Yeah. The Cavs also played great perimeter defense. I know they've got the best offense in the league as well, which showed through in all the different ways they can score. Hartenstein had a great game, even though he was being guarded by the Twin Towers. He still actually had a great game for the Thunder. Everyone played well. The Cavs just came out on top. Not much more you can say about it, Timms, is there?
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, the Twin Towers, you mentioned them there. Jarrett Allen and Evan Mobley. I mean, these two are just phenomenal. They make the right play again and again and again. And Jarrett Allen, I mean, he's just an old school big, isn't he?
But yeah,
he's the new Mr. Fundamental, mate. I mean, he had 6 assists in this game, 25 points to go with 11 rebounds, 9 of 11 from the field. I mean, that's just an absurd game for Jarrett Allen. And yeah, it's not just scoring dunks at the rim, you know. He gets passes on the roll man in the pick and roll and then picks a pass with those 6 assists as well. I mean, what a player he's been.
Yeah, Timms, he does it all with a smile on his face as well. Honestly, all the post-game interviews, it makes me love him more and more. I know I was saying last week how he shouldn't be in the MVP talks over Donovan Mitchell. Maybe he should. He's one of the 2 or 3 keys to the Cavaliers' success, isn't he?
Absolutely. And did you see in his interview recently, he was asked about the Cleveland style of basketball and he called it ethical basketball, which I enjoyed very much. And then another reporter after that asked him what he meant. And he just pulled out the dictionary definition of the word ethical, I think. But yeah, how can you not love this man? Like you say, he does it all with a smile on his face.
Yeah, and he does it all so well, Timms. Like you say, so efficient, and they're not all dunks at the rim. He can actually hit you in so many different ways. Yeah. And yeah, those two also crashing the offensive boards as well. It's really, really hard to stop, Timms. Really hard to stop.
Yeah. So, Barn, I think we had the prediction in last week's podcast about who would win the game. Who do you think is going to win this week? Do you think Cleveland are going to do it again, or do you think Oklahoma are going to get them back on their home floor?
See, I got it all wrong. I think I had the Thunder last week and you had the Cavs, didn't you? Yeah. You were correct. Well done, Tibbs.
Thank you, mate.
Mate, after watching the game, I can't see the Thunder winning. I don't know what more they can do. I really don't know what more they can do. What's your opinion on this?
I think the Thunder take this one. I really
do.
I'm gonna swap allegiances. Home floor is going to do it for the Thunder. Shea, who is surging in the MVP race right now, he's absolutely on fire. I think he's scored 30-plus points in about, feels like 100 games in a row at this point. I mean, looking at the box score from the other game, Ty Jerome, 6 of 7 in 12 minutes. Also, Max Strus, 6 of 7, 5 of 6 from deep as well, Barn. I mean, those two were real impacts off the bench. And can they reproduce that regularly? No, of course not. They're not going to do that every single game, shoot those absurd percentages. So I just think the home floor, Shea will bring his game to a completely other level somehow, because he's already one of, if not the best player in the world right now. But I've got the Thunder winning this one, Barn.
Wow. Brave talk, Timbs, but I mean, you're one of one so far. Long may that continue.
And you'll go with the Cavs, will you, to make it 2-0?
Mate, of course I'm going with the Cavs. Timbs, watching them the other night, don't know how you beat those guys. They were playing absolutely out their skin. Both teams were. The Cavs ended up with the win, though. That's the key thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Barn, you watched any other NBA in the past week? I mean, the Thunder Cavs they've taken over the talk lately, but who else have you got your
eye on? Timbs, mate, I've been keeping a close eye on the Nuggets. Mainly, well, past couple of days, my poor Mavs have been playing them back-to-back. God, I flicked on midway through the third quarter. I think we were up 19, maybe, when I turned on. I don't know what I did to annoy anyone, but bloody hell, one of the worst periods of basketball I have ever seen from the Mavs. And the Nuggets just turned it on to him. They were bloody brilliant in the end of the third going into the fourth. Nothing we could do about them on offense. And they didn't have to try that hard against us on the defensive end. We couldn't hit a thing. We were making terrible decisions. Yeah, Kyrie was back last night. Timbs, I didn't watch the game. I honestly wasn't bothered about it, to be honest. I feel like I'm turning into an Orlando Magic fan. When Luka's out, when Kyrie's not playing that many minutes, I'm not that bothered, Timbs, to be honest. Obviously, I'm going to be a Mavs fan till the day I die. I'm just not that happy at the moment. Same as last week, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what are you, 3 of 7 in your last 10 games at the moment? You were surging towards the Rockets and the Grizzlies in the table, but now you dropped to the 6th seed and only a couple games ahead of San Antonio in the 10th seed as well. So, no, I fully understand it, mate.
Yeah, but Tim's on the other end of that, the Nuggets, they've won 8 of their last 10, mate. After being slandered, Jokic is playing at MVP level, but they're not getting the wins out. They're cranking those wins now, aren't they? And our guy Russ, he's been playing out of his skin, hasn't he?
He's been brilliant. He's been absolutely brilliant. And it's great to see him, as so many people are saying, finally find that home after Oklahoma, because he's been around the league and all over the league, really, in the last few years. But really feels like he's found his place now at Denver. And he's playing incredibly well and bringing great value to that team. I think the more he plays alongside Jokic, the more chemistry those two are going to build together as well.
Yeah, I agree, Timbs. I agree. Mate, this past month, he's averaging near on 18, 8 and 8 with a steal to go with as well. I know Jamal Murray's been out, but surely as the Nuggets coach, you have to look at this and go, oh, Russ has to play more minutes with Jokic, doesn't he? Timbs, they both had a triple-double in the same game. But was it two games straight? No.
They've done that in two games this season.
Yeah, okay.
Two games. First time ever that two players on the same team have had a triple-double in the same game twice in one season.
Wow.
Which is, incredible.
And I mean, when you watch Russ on the floor, Timbs, he's the floor general he used to be. He's got that confidence back. He makes the right pass, or he takes it to the rim. I've been loving them, Timbs. Yeah, I've been loving them. Who have you been watching this week, mate?
I've, of course, been keeping a semi-close eye on my Toronto Raptors. We went up against the Cavs. I think Darius Garland dropped 40 on us. We had a fairly close game against the Pistons, but Cade Cunningham, he is just a phenomenal player these days. I think he's now the bookies' favourite to win most improved player this season, Barn.
Is he? Wow.
He's been on quite the run. And I do want to put these two stat lines to you, actually. So this is Cade in year 4. He's currently averaging 24.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, 9.5 assists. Whereas current MVP candidate, Shea, in year 4. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 24.5, 5.5 rebounds, and only 6 assists. So Cade's numbers superior to Shea at the same point of his career. I mean,
He's on his way.
He's on his way, isn't he? He is absolutely flying. And the Pistons are too now, well inside that playing spot. And I think for the first time in 5 or 6 years, they're more than one game above 500, Barn. It's been a torrid few years for the Pistons.
I mean, Tims, they had their 28-game losing streak last season, didn't they? I cannot believe how far they've come. Mainly down to that man, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the 8-2, like the Denver Nuggets in their last 10. Malik Beasley as well, he's been a great pickup for them. Really great player off the bench. They won in New York the other day, Barn. Beasley was brilliant from downtown. I think 6 of 8 in that game from downtown. But like you say, it's Cade Cunningham who really has led the charge here. And he needs to be an all-star this year.
Oh, 100%, Sims. Yeah, that guy can't not be an all-star. I haven't got the votes up in front of me from the first thing. Was he high up there or no?
I'm not actually sure.
We'll check that out at some point during the pod. Tims, also, I like what the Pistons have done, getting a few vets around Cade as well. They've got that nice young core, but they have the vets too. Tobias Harris has been balling out. You know I've been hating on Tobias Harris over the last few years. He's not a bad player. He's quite efficient. He always puts his shift in. He's just been so overpaid over the last few. I think he was earning close to 40 mil when he was on the Sixers, which is fucking ridiculous, which just made me go against him slightly. But he's been great. I had a little soft spot for Tim Hardaway Jr., and he still does the exact same for the Pistons as well. He can take you for 30, or he's going to shoot 1 for 12 with 3 points.
No way.
And he's been doing the exact same with the Pistons. But funnily enough, his games when he'll take you for 25-30 have been coming at perfect times, Tim. So they're all just gelling well together with their main man, Cade.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got the All-Star vote returns up, Barnes. Second fan returns. These are from 6 days ago now. But Cade Cunningham was 7th in the guards in the East, behind Tyrese Maxey, Trae Young, Brunson, Lillard, Mitchell and LaMelo Ball. So fans aren't voting him in right now.
No, that's a pretty star-studded lineup as well, Tims, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I think Donovan Mitchell, Lillard, LaMelo Ball, they'll get in just off popularity alone. Yeah. Hopefully the coaches vote Cade in because he really deserves it.
Oh, they can't not.
Absolutely. Anyway, Barn, we're almost halfway through this NBA season, and I thought this week we could do a little mid-season report and maybe make a few predictions as well for the rest of the season. And at the end of the year, we can see just how wrong we were, because we'll surely be completely off the mark, but at least it'd be fun to look back on, right?
Yes, sir.
So first up, we're going to predict basically how the NBA is going to pan out this year. So I think we'll start with a surprise team to make the playoffs, Barn. So this is considering the current landscape of the league, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Based on that, who do you think could make the playoffs that perhaps no one else thinks?
Tims, I don't know how rogue this is. I think the Sacramento Kings are going to make the playoffs. I really do. I don't think they're going to sit above the sixth seed at any point in the season, but I think they're going to make it through the play-in against whoever they face. But we've spoken on the play-in before. That is going to be a hell of a couple of games. But I'm going with the Sacramento Kings, Tim. Sabonis, mate, his over at the moment, if anyone's a betting person, is 17.5 on the rebounds. I've never seen anything like it.
That's outrageous. I think he's had 61 in his last 3 games, I saw.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's absolutely ridiculous. De'Aaron Fox, we know what he's been doing. Malik Monk's been balling out for them as well, Tim. I think the Sacramento Kings are going to make it. I think they really are. What's your opinion?
I mean, I like it a lot. If you told me that last week, I'd have told you you're completely mad.
Yeah.
They went on a 7-game win streak as soon as they fired their head coach, didn't they?
Yeah, crazy.
Now they're absolutely the 9th seed, 20-20, 500 on the season. I mean, they've got to go through some star-studded teams, haven't they? The Timberwolves with Edwards, the Lakers are there. Suns and Warriors are just out the play-in right now. So, I mean, it's going to be difficult. And like you say, it would be a surprise if they make it at this point.
Yeah. I mean, Tim's, it's so tight down there. Literally, you lose a game. For example, the Kings lose a game, they're out the play-in completely.
Yeah.
It's that cutthroat down at the bottom of the West, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who do you think, Tim's? What's your opinion?
For me, I'll go for a team in the East. And I'm actually going to go for the 15-23 Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, are you now?
So they're the 11th seed right now. They're 2 games outside the Bulls at the 10th seed. They're 5 games outside Heat at the 7th seed. So they've obviously had a terrible start to the year. Embiid's not played much. I mean, Embiid, Maxey and Paul George have hardly played together. But when they have played together, they have played well. And I think as long as Embiid is relatively healthy, doesn't get ruled out for the season at any point, I think the 76ers do make the playoffs in the Week East. What do you think?
Yeah, brave shout, Tim. Brave shout. I know the East is weak. Is it that weak? Yeah, it's tough to judge. I mean, Tim's, they had a terrible start to the season. That's just continued, hasn't it? They just haven't been winning games, whoever's in. Yeah, I might have to agree with you. Difficult, isn't it? It's really difficult. I think if they're in those top 10 seeds, they have to win that one game, don't they?
They'll win the play-in against, I think, the Bulls, the Hawks, even the Pistons, sadly.
I couldn't agree more. If you want my opinion, I know the Pacers have been playing well. I think they'll drop down. And the Pistons or the Hawks will pop up into that sixth seed. And then, yeah, I can't see Philly, if they make the play-in, I can't see them losing to anyone, Tim. You're so right.
In a one-game play-in, as long as you've got Joel Embiid healthy, I see 76ers winning against any of those teams in there in the East.
Yeah, no, he can't be contained. It's just whether they can get there to begin with, isn't it? No, I'm amazed how even when they just have a combination, let's say they got Paul George and Maxi playing, how the hell is that not enough to win you basketball games?
I know.
They're such good players, those two.
Yeah, I mean, Paul George isn't what he used to be, is he? I mean, we've seen that. He's not shooting efficiently this season.
No.
And they signed him to that Supermax deal, which is looking quite horrid quite quickly, isn't it? But they are asking him to do a lot more than they envisioned, I think, with Embiid out so much. So, I mean, it all comes down to Embiid this, doesn't it? Let's be real.
Yeah, it does. No, it does. And it's sad that it does, Tim, but that's literally what it comes down to. Absolutely. If Embiid is healthy, then great shout.
Exactly. This is a man who won the MVP not too long ago.
Yeah.
Easy to forget. Anyway, Ban, next up, I want you to give me your team who are going to miss the playoffs, your surprise team who are going to miss the playoffs this year.
Well, does it come as a surprise? Tim, I don't think the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry are going to make the playoffs this season.
Ah, horrible.
I've stuck in the West again, but I just cannot see them making it. And if they make the play-in, Steph's going to obviously go off regardless. It's very rare that he doesn't go off in clutch situations.
Yeah.
But who are they beating? Who are they beating in that play-in? It's going to be so tough, mate. No, I can't see them making the play-in at the moment, if I'm honest with you, Tim. I think the Suns are the ones who are going to maybe rise into those play-in spots. Again, don't know who's going to leave. Maybe it's the Kings. Maybe I've completely misjudged that. But I don't think the Warriors are going to rise. I think, if anything, they're going to fall.
Yeah. I'm a massive Steph Curry fan. I really am. And to see him struggling like he has been a little bit lately, and to see the Warriors especially struggling, it's been not nice to see as a Steph Curry fanboy. But the only thing I would say is they've shown they're willing to make a move, picking up Schroeder. So obviously we can't predict exactly what's going to happen, but they do have assets. Do they make a move here to try and at least give Steph something this season? Because he doesn't have many seasons left in the league, Steph Curry. So every season counts in terms of even just making it as the 8th seed for them, or even the play-in. But yeah, you're right. They're aging. Draymond Green is not who he used to be either. So yeah, I can see it, Bum.
I did see an interview the other day as well with Draymond. Again, you don't know how much truth Draymond talks, but he said that he loves being with the Warriors because the front office, they are never in a win now situation. As in, they will never go, right, let's trade away our future for one season. And we know there's other teams in the league who do that, and they do it quite regularly, much to the fan base's annoyance. But
yeah,
that's again why, yeah, they might make a couple of moves, but will it be enough? See, I like the Schroeder move, Tims. I think you did as well, but he hasn't made enough of an impact for them to be constantly winning games, has it?
No, absolutely. They need something, for sure, if they're going to make the playoffs. So, yeah. Barn, I think it's a good pick.
Thank you, Tims. And who's your pick, sir? Are you sticking in the East for this one?
I'm going to bop over to the West, actually, for this one. And okay. I'm going to go with the 21-18, as of now, Minnesota Timberwolves. They're currently the 8th seed, right? And obviously, what were they last season? The 2 seed? The 1 seed in the West?
It was so tight at the end, wasn't it? Did they end up as the 1?
Yeah. They had 60-whatever wins last season. I'm going with the Timberwolves to miss the playoffs. So they're going to be punished cruelly for trading Karl Anthony Towns for Julius Randle in what we've called a horrid trade numerous times already, Barn. Anthony Edwards, he's looked passive, I mean, this season lately. I think he scored 50 points recently against the Pistons, but they lost that game, Barn. And the Timberwolves I can't believe how much they've fallen in the last 12 months. And it's all because of that Karl Anthony Towns trade. And I think it would be just karma for them to miss the playoffs this season. What do you think?
Yeah, Tims, I absolutely love that shout. Absolutely love that shout. And also, the Timberwolves, they're not playing like last season. Timberwolves are one of my favourite teams to watch.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, the Wolves are playing tonight. Oh, great. Maybe I'll stay up and catch the first half. Because, God, how exciting were they 12 months ago? You're right, what a difference it makes. And now, the Wolves are probably one of my least favourite teams in the NBA to watch. Ant looks passive, like you say. He's not the exciting guy that we got to know and love last season. That cat trade, yeah, that has to go down as one of the worst in history. Tims, I love it. I absolutely love it. I think that's my favourite take of yours in a long time.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. Yeah, and I feel like I focused a bit too much on Anthony Edwards there because he's still by far their best player, but he hasn't quite taken the step from last season that you would have hoped, especially as Karl Anthony Towns has been traded. And I think Julius Randle, we've said enough about him in the last few months on this podcast, Barn. He stopped ball movement. He's just not pleasant to watch. Rudy Gobert, I mean, he's obviously huge on the defensive end, but very limited offensively, particularly in this day and age of the NBA. Dante DiVincenzo has struggled compared to his scoring output he had in the Knicks and Warriors as well. So it's all going downhill for the Timberwolves. They're going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, Tims. Oh, I love you. I love you. That's such a good take.
Well, let's see, mate. Let's see. They'll probably end up
yeah. at this point. Yeah.
Okay, Bam. So I want, next up, your player to watch for the rest of the season. This is a player who may not be the most obvious, but a player you want everyone to keep their eye on for the rest of this NBA season.
Tims, why are you asking me that? You know exactly who I'm going to say. My player to watch is the best player in the NBA, Paolo Banchero.
Wow.
He's back. He's playing great. He's going to be amazing, Tims. He's going to be absolutely amazing. He's going to lead the Magic to an unbelievable record. No one will expect it. Franz will come back. He's my guy to watch, Tims. I also love watching him play. He's really exciting. Makes the right decisions all the time, Tims. One of my most hated things about watching basketball games is watching players who, yeah, they might be fun to watch, yeah, but they're making the wrong decisions all the time. And that immediately makes them not fun to watch for me. They might get someone out on an island and hit a three, but if they only make one out of four of those, then they immediately become less fun for me. Paolo, that guy, man. Oh, in his two games back, I've just been loving him, Tims. He does everything the right way. He's the player to watch for the entire rest of the season, in my opinion. Well, what do you think?
I love it, mate. I love it. And obviously, I knew you would say Banchero. I know. Obviously, you went viral for talking about Banchero recently on the old social medias. But yeah, he scored 34 points in his first game back after 2 months out with injury. Followed that up with 20 points, only 8 shot attempts as well on that.
Yeah.
5 of 8 from the field. He's so interesting to watch because he's not this high-flying player, is he? He's quite methodical. He doesn't rush. And I was trying to think of a player who I could compare him to, but I'm struggling to come up with one, actually. I've seen some people call him the new Carmelo Anthony, but he's not at all. He takes his time so much more than superstars of the past.
Yeah, I completely agree. Tim's picking a play style of his, that's really tough. I don't like the don't like the Melo shout at all, actually. I think that's a really, really bad take. Play style-wise, I don't think there's a player like him, Tim's. This is, in my head, this is what I'm coming to. I think if you take away half of LeBron's athleticism, I think he's very similar to LeBron in that sense.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have these things. And he has other things in abundance. One thing that we didn't mention, he didn't play more than 26 minutes in either of those games.
Absolutely.
He got 34, 7 and 3 in 26 minutes. They lost to a full-strength Bucks team by 3. Tims, before I talk about him for the next half an hour, who is your player to watch for the rest of the season?
My player to watch for the rest of the season, Barn, is Amen Thompson of the Houston Rockets. Now, he's really caught my eye in the past week or two, especially. He had 2 games in a row with 15-plus rebounds. He scored in his last 4 games over 19 points in 3 of those. But Barn, it's not about his scoring or even his rebounding. It's about his defense. This guy is an absolute defensive phenomenon on the floor. He is scary. going up. I mean, the Rockets have played the Grizzlies twice in the last couple of days at the time of recording this, and he absolutely locked down Ja Morant in both of those games. Ja, he struggled really, really badly in one of those games. He scored 20-something points in the second, but Thompson played incredible defense in both of them. This guy, his athleticism as well, Barn. He could dunk if the rim was 2 feet higher. It's unbelievable.
Tims, love that shout. Amen Thompson. Yeah, not only is he great on the defensive end, he's been putting in the work on the offensive end as well, isn't he? He had 19 against the Grizzlies in their latest. He's had a 20-point game, 23-point game, another 20-point game in the last five. He's been playing a lot of minutes. He's been putting in the work in every single one of those minutes. No, I like it, Tims. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the Terra twins on the Houston Rockets alongside, obviously, Tari Eason as well. He's shooting right now 25% from three on 1.3 attempts per game. So he doesn't really have that three-point shot in his locker. If he develops that, he's going to be the ultimate 3-and-D wing in the NBA, isn't he?
Yeah, it'll be ridiculous. But Tims, if he's only attempting 1.3 threes a game, who cares if he misses? Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if he can't shoot as long as he knows he can't.
Yeah, so true. And like you say, he does so much damage inside with his athleticism. So
yeah.
And he's not on the team to score, is he? He's not going to be the primary or secondary scorer.
Nah, that's what we love about the Rockets, Tims. They all know their role, mate.
Absolutely. Anyway, I think when we have the top 100 highlights uploaded on the NBA channel from this season's NBA, I think Amen Thompson's going to have a couple in the top 10. Is my take.
God, that guy can jump out the gym, can't he?
Yeah.
Right, Tim, so what you got for us next, mate?
Next up. So we've had the player to watch for the rest of the season. And this time, Barn, I want you to give our listeners the player to avoid watching at all costs. I mean, even if it's not on early in the UK on a Sunday.
If this playing,
do not turn on that game.
Well, there is an immediate player that springs to mind, and I know he's top of your list as well. It's Julius Randle, Tim, isn't it? Is he top of yours?
I mean, he's not, only because I knew he'd be top of yours as well.
God, I'm so predictable. So predictable. Now, Tim, I hate watching that man play basketball. Honestly, there was a clip that went viral of him this week. I can't remember who they were playing, but he kept losing his dribble and kept picking it back up. And the caption was something like, any normal person would have passed this the first time he lost it. And he kept picking it up, and then he got a stole off him. And oh, yeah. No, he makes the Timberwolves really hard to watch. That's, again, one of the reasons why they're so unfun. He takes forefront of my mind. What? Who's on your list?
So I'll give you a tweet from Channing Frye. This is from a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Channing Frye, legend of the NBA, obviously. He said, I'm watching the Blazer game, and it's gross watching a certain player absolutely fuck off his minutes. It's unreal. Please stop playing this person, Trailblazers. And I don't know who this is about, Barm, but if I had to guess, I would say DeAndre Ayton. And I mean, I quite like watching the Trailblazers. They've got Shaedon Sharpe, he's high-flying, Anthony Simons. They've got a few good young players, but sure. DeAndre Ayton, he's such a talented player. He's got so much athleticism. He's so strong. He could be such a dominant big. I mean, he should be better than Jarrett Allen, based on his physical ability, but he just doesn't really care, Barn, I get the impression. He was obviously traded from the Suns. I think he was a former number one pick. But yeah, he just, Barn, he doesn't have any hustle, and it really shows that he doesn't really, it's not going to affect his day too much if the Blazers win or lose that game. so my player to avoid watching is DeAndre Ayton.
That's a brilliant shout, mate. Yeah,
but Barn, he's had some decent games this season. Don't get me wrong. He's had some double doubles. He's secured some big rebound numbers. But he could be so much better than he is, and that's the frustrating thing with Ayton, I think.
Yeah, no, so true. Tim, do you think it has on because he was the number one pick in the Luka trade draft? I think Marvin Bagley the third go second.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, we're that's right.
And then Doncic and Trae Young.
Yeah. I reckon Ayton has actually given up. He actually used to really try on the Suns when they reached the finals and stuff, didn't he? He played really well for them. But I think once he got traded to the Blazers, he thought, right, well, I've kind of been forgotten about here. He knows the Blazers aren't contenders. It's basically just that he's being shipped around. And he's just not up for that. And I wonder how hard that is to come back from mentally. Like you say, he's got the physical prowess to still do it all, hasn't he? But he's just not there in the head at the moment.
I think you're right, Barn. But looking at his career averages is such a frustrating thing because he came in to his rookie year on the Suns. He averaged 16, 10 rebounds, 2 assists. Solid numbers for a rookie you expect out of a number one pick. This season, he's averaging 13, 10 rebounds, 1.5 assists. So his numbers have gone down since
year.
And he's never taken a step in any of these seasons. He's always averaged between 10 and 11 rebounds, never averaged more than 18.5 points. So, you know what I mean? He's never really progressed in his professional career. And like I said, if he really wanted to, I think he could be an all-star caliber player. I think he needs to have a word with Jarrett Allen and learn about ethical basketball.
Yeah, learn how to be happy whilst you're doing it.
Yeah, put that smile on your face, DeAndre.
Yeah, get Jarrett Allen and Jared McCain in the same room. You've got the happiest NBA players in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, Barn, it's getting down to crunch time because now it's time to give me who you think is going to be the MVP this season. And we obviously spoke about this at the quarter point of the year. We thought Jokic was running away with it. I guess your mind has changed a little bit.
My mind's changed a little bit. Tims, I actually called you earlier in the week, didn't I? To see who you thought the MVP was going to be. It's so difficult. It's so difficult. I mean, in my head, most valuable player means the most valuable player. That is, without a doubt, Nikola Jokic, right? There is absolutely no doubt in my mind Nikola Jokic is the most valuable player. We've touched on this in previous episodes. The Nuggets, when Jokic is on the floor, have the best offensive rating in history, yeah? When he's off the floor, they have... Is it the worst or is it like the second worst or something?
Yeah, it was the worst.
It was the worst. I think it might have improved to the second worst or something. When Jokic is off the floor, the Nuggets have the worst or the second worst offensive rating in history. If that does not make him the most valuable player, whilst being top three in points, rebounds and assists at the moment, he's averaging a near on 30-point triple-double this season. If that doesn't make you the most valuable player in the league, I don't know what does. But we know how this works. Voter fatigue. I'm not throwing shade on Shea here, Tims. Shea is the second best player in the league, right? He's also the second most valuable player in the league. I'm not saying... Oh, Jokic is miles better than Shea. Jokic is just, in my head, the definition of the MVP winner. I know you're going to disagree with me here.
I'm going to say Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is going to win the MVP. I mean, the Thunder have that record, 33-6. He's playing out of this world efficient right now as well in the past month or two, specifically the past month. I just think that record, Barn, it does swing it. And like you say, voter fatigue does exist. Jokic has won it 3 out of the past 4 seasons. And do people really want him to win another, or do they want something different? And Shea is that fresh face, you know, who's risen in the past few years again and again, taking his game to another level. Oh, I just feel like the record thing, Barn. And Nuggets have climbed the table lately as well, but... The Thunder are just unbelievable. They're going to win 65 games this season easily.
Yeah.
And I think the MVP ultimately is going to come from the Cavs or the Thunder because they're both going to win an absurd number of games this season. And Shea's going to be the pick of them. That's the way I see it going, to be honest. But I can't disagree too much with your take that Jokic is, by definition, the most valuable player in the NBA right now.
And Tim's... I don't disagree with yours at all either. If I had to stick my house on who was going to win the MVP, it would be on SGA. By definition, Jokic should be, but if you're winning 65, 70 games, it's really hard to look past that. Now, Tims, if the Nuggets continue on their little winning run and maybe creep up into... I'm just looking at the top of the standings now. They're one game behind the Grizzlies and only two or three behind the Rockets. Could happen. I think if maybe they get the second seed, then... Jokic is in with more of a shout. Also, if he continues putting up crazy numbers. But yeah, it's a really interesting one this year, isn't it?
It really is. And I'm glad because the last few years, it's felt like we've had a winner fairly early on in Jokic and the Embiid winner as well. He kind of ran away with it a little bit. Again, I think voter fatigue played a role in that one.
Jokic should have had that one as well. Probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Quickly though, I am on the Basketball Reference MVP tracker, which I've got up numerous times this season when we've discussed it. Jokic and Shea are obviously 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Who do you think is leading it on the B-ball ref?
Well, Jokic hasn't. I still think Jokic is leading it.
Jokic is leading it, and by some way, he has a 59% probability compared to Shea's 29%.
God, that's gone up since last week, Tim, hasn't it?
It really has. So I guess they really are taking note of the Nuggets' win streak.
Yeah. I'm just looking up betting odds as well.
I'll be the betting leader, I reckon.
Wow. Yeah. Shea's almost 1-2.
Wow.
That's absolutely ridiculous. Jokic, you can get 8-5 on. Wow, that's incredible. Tim's the closest in third is Giannis with you can get him at 20-1.
Yeah, wow, it really is.
We're not even halfway through. We're halfway through the season.
Yeah, that is crazy. That's crazy.
That is really funny.
Anyway, it's going to be an exciting race for the rest of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, Tim's. I'm so intrigued to see how this plays out. Obviously, we're both absolutely praying injuries don't play a factor in this. We want it to be a two-horse race till the very end, and may the best man win.
Absolutely. And I think that goes with the entire NBA season, Barnes. So my penultimate question to you for the remainder of the year, who are going to be the teams to make it to the conference finals this season?
Which conference do you want first?
We'll go for the East first, Barnes.
East first. Tim's, the first one's obvious. Cavaliers are going to be in the conference finals. I have no doubt about that. Second one, I'm really torn here. You know how much I love the Magic, Tim's. And I know it's a rogue shout. Real toss-up. I actually find it really hard to see the Celtics getting past the Knicks. I find it really hard to see any team getting past the Knicks, to be honest, in that. If I was speaking with my heart, the Orlando Magic are matching up against the Cleveland Cavaliers in the conference finals.
Wow.
If I'm speaking with my head, it's the New York Knicks who are matching up with the Cavs. I don't think the Celtics are going to make it. I don't think they're going to beat the Cavs or the Knicks.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I don't know what's happened to me. Tim, have you watched much of the Knicks play recently?
Yeah, they've been great. They've been great, haven't they?
So hard to beat. They're so hard to beat. Tim, the Magic are winning games. They were winning games without Franz or Paolo Banchero or Jalen Suggs. They were still winning games. Now they're winning games with just Paolo back. Imagine what it's like with Franz and Suggs back. They're going to be scary. I think they're my dark horse pick to make the conference finals. otherwise, I'm going with the Cavs and the Knicks. You might even call the Knicks a dark horse pick.
So you're taking the Knicks or the Magic? Come on, you're sitting on the fence here.
I'm taking the Magic, Tibbs.
Magic, I love it.
I'm taking the Magic.
I love it.
if Franz and Suggs are both healthy for the playoffs, every team had better watch out. No, I can only see the Magic losing to the Cavs.
Mate.
You heard it here first.
It's a brave pick and I absolutely love it.
What are your thoughts of the East, Tibbs? What are your thoughts of the
Cavs Magic? I'm going to go straight up Cavs Celtics. I just think the Celtics are going to bring enough depth and firepower in the playoffs to win it over a 7-game series. They'll go close against the Knicks or even the Magic as well, depending who they're matched up against, I think. We haven't spoken about the Bucks here, and I think Giannis is worth mentioning, but I don't think they'll get to the conference finals. I think the Celtics will have enough to get to the conference finals, Ben.
Yeah. James, I don't disagree with you. it's hard to see.
I love the Magic pick. I really do.
Oh, they're just my favourite team to watch at the moment, Tim's. I've got to get that Banchero jersey on order, don't I? I've got to be wearing that daily.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, over to the West. Who have you got?
West, you can't not take the Thunder in this scenario. If we're all healthy, mate, I am not going against my Dallas Mavericks. I think we can beat anyone in a 7-game series. Even the Thunder. I even think we can take the Thunder when we're completely healthy and everyone's playing.
Big talk. And I actually was thinking about this one. I was really torn on this one, thinking about it earlier. This just feels to me like it could be the Mavs off season. Luke has been injured a lot already. I don't know, maybe it's just recency bias talking, Barn, but I hope not. I hope you get a healthy Dallas Mavericks, and if they are, like you say, they can beat anyone. But I'm not going to take them. I'm going to take the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Denver Nuggets in the finals. And I was thinking about the Rockets and the Grizzlies as well. I mean, they've both been great this season. I think the Nuggets are pulling it together. Even Jamal Murray, who struggled all year, he had 45 points last night, Barn. He's starting to heat up. Same with MPJ, starting to just find their groove a little bit. And with Russ and Jokic, we've just discussed how good Nikola Jokic is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take him dragging the Denver Nuggets to the conference finals this year.
Love that shout, Tim. Do you think they need to make a move first, or do you think they got it all already?
I would like them to make a move for my shout to feel a bit more safe, but I think with their current roster, they can do it as well, as long as Jokic is healthy, basically.
Yeah, no, I love it. Love it.
Which leads us into the grand finale, Barn, which we'll look back on in 5 or 6 months' time with great joy at how wrong we are, all of these, but maybe we can get this one right. Who is going to win the NBA title this season.
Oh, no. God. Tibbs. I really want to speak with my heart. Tibbs, the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to win the NBA championship.
Honestly, you resisted the urge to say your Mavericks there, so... But
I resisted the I resisted the urge to think about a Mavericks Magic final. No, I really do. If both teams are fully healthy, then it's really hard to not see a Cavs Thunder final at the rate they're going, isn't it? Obviously, anything can happen in a seven-game series. But the Cleveland Cavaliers, honestly, watching them recently, they are going to be near on impossible to beat in a seven-game series. You really got to pull out something crazy to overcome that. Oh, what do you think, Tim?
I think it's a good shout, and I've toyed with the Cavs, and it's when the season started, I thought, you know, they're going to fade. The Celtics are going to be the team to beat in the East. But now I really do think it's the Cavs who are the team to beat in the East. I think they'll go to the finals, but I'm going to take the Thunder, Ban. I think the Thunder are going to win the title this season. They're on absolute fire. And one man we've not mentioned this podcast is Chet Holmgren. And he's going to be a big difference maker to come back. Plus, they have so many assets and they're in such a good position here. They can make a move. They really can. There's been rumors of Cam Johnson, who would be a great addition on the Thunder. And I just think the Thunder, they're in such a good place right now, both this season with their assets as well. I think they get it done.
Yeah, that's so scary, Tims, isn't it? Yeah. No, Chet. And if they do make a move, I forgot how many picks they've got to give up. They've got so many first rounders in the next few years, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, we're not seeing too many trades lately, Barton. I think we're going to see a flurry soon, certainly before the deadline. Not quite happened how we expected, has it?
Not at all.
Quite come to life yet, like we hoped.
No, I even saw yesterday that, Jimmy's suspension's almost up and he's apparently going to play again. Like, what's going on? I know, I saw this. It was like, Jimmy's going to play for the Heat. I thought that cannot be true. But it was from, I think it might have been Shams. I have to check his Twitter.
In fair, probably more of a punishment to make him play for the Heat.
Yeah, so true. It's really tough to not see a Cavs Thunder Finals, isn't it? Both teams are just absolute powerhouses, rolling over teams like they're not even there. Cam Johnson would be a great pickup. I didn't see those rumours.
Yeah, it would be an unbelievably good pickup, I think, adding him from the Nets. Yeah, and I think they'll be willing to ship him for a first rounder or something.
Yeah.
Which they have so many of. They may as well get rid of one, you know.
Yeah, agreed. Well, and the Nets are in a rebuilding process, hopefully. Hopefully they don't think they're in a win-now situation.
Hopefully they realise.
Yeah. No, so a first rounder. Cam Johnson's not going to want to stay, is he? He's a great player. He can be a great role player on a great team. So if you don't ship him now, you're going to have to ship him in the summer anyway, probably, aren't you?
Literally. Exactly. But anyway, Barn, I really am looking forward to looking back on these in 5-6 months time, and we'll have a laugh when we look back, that's for sure, because pretty much has changed in the 20 games we did from the quarter point of the season that God knows what the league's going to look like in 6 months.
I know. It's absolutely horrible to think, Tim. And I'm really hoping that my Mavs can stay in those top six spots, mate. It's scary. Watching us the other night was just diabolical. Obviously, Kyrie's back now. He was back last night, but he had a bad game. Luka's not back for the next couple of months. We're going to struggle, Tims. We're going to struggle. And I don't want to be in a play-in situation against those teams.
No.
Yeah, we need to be in that top half, mate.
You need some Luka magic back ASAP.
We sure do. And we need to be fun to watch again. Yeah. That's what I'm missing the most. What's fun to watch about, like, last night's game?
So true.
Kyrie was our top scorer. What did he get? 11 points? 12 points?
Yeah.
No, gross.
Yeah, no, you're right. The Mavericks are usually one of my favourite teams to watch when Luka and Kyrie are both healthy.
We're fun, right?
They're not in my top half of favourite teams right now, that's for sure.
No, not even in mine, Tim.
Yeah. Understandable. Yeah. Anyway, Barn, enjoyed this very much. I know you've got an appointment with the television. What are you watching tonight?
Dude, you can't out me like that, mate. It's the Traitors on in 2 minutes. I didn't actually realise the time. We had to squeeze in the pod quickly tonight, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Traitors is very popular. I've not tried it myself, but...
Oh, Tims, you'll be hooked immediately.
Sell it to me in 10 seconds.
Huh?
Sell it to me in 10 seconds.
Tims, imagine Among Us in real life.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, you got a few people against the others. No one knows who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great watch, Tim. It's a great watch. No, Tim, just before we go, mate, what are you looking forward to this week? Obviously, we got the rematch of Cavs Thunder in Oklahoma. Is it tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, I think, at the time of recording. Yeah, I'm buzzing for that match. I really am, more than anything else this week. I mean, looking at my Raptors schedule, we got the Celtics, Milwaukee, your Orlando Magic as well. I mean, yeah.
My Orlando Magic, love it.
Yeah, we've won two of our last, I think, that must be 15 games, man.
Yeah.
Two of 15, I think we are in the last. Yeah, it's fine. We're on the Cooper flag hunt and hopefully... that prediction comes true and we get Cooper Flagg as well in 9 months or so.
Yeah, I hope so, Tim's mate. Looking at my Mavs schedule, we've got some must wins and definite losses here. We played the Thunder twice, we played the Celtics. We've got the Timberwolves, Pelicans and the Hornets. Mate, we have to win those three. We're in a real dire situation because we don't expect to beat the Thunder twice, even once.
Yeah.
all the Celtics with Luka out. So, yeah, if we can take those three, I'm happy.
Yeah, Zion's back as well for the Pelicans.
Pelicans.
That's a good one.
I didn't know there'd be Marino.
Yeah, anyway, any final thoughts, Barn?
Tim's pleasure to chat to you as always. Final thoughts. Yeah, I'm slowly... I'm hoping Luka's back soon so I don't fully convert into an Orlando Magic fan. That's all from me, mate.
Hope everyone enjoyed this week's podcast. And yeah, like I said, looking forward to looking back on these predictions in a few months' time, Barn.
Yes, sir. Yeah, can't wait, Tims. Right, mate. I will see you next week. Everyone, thanks for listening. And we will see you all next week. Yo, I'm leaving work, leaving my birth.